Hello, my name is Paul Kangas. This is KPOO, and we're talking about Black History Month this month. This is February, and I've got my own personal nomination about who should be a honored Black American that's currently living and that people don't remember too well. His name is Frank Mills. Does that name ring a bell? Do you remember Frank Mills? Frank Mills was probably one of the key Black Americans back in the 70s who, thanks to his efforts, he helped us uncover who killed John Kennedy. And yet today, Frank Mills has a hard time finding a job because of his efforts. He has become somewhat haunted by those in the government who would rather he didn't exist. And he's been haunted specifically by people like E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis, who he had arrested. And that may be enough clue for you to remember who Frank Mills is. Frank Mills in 1974 was one of the most famous Black Americans in the country. And yet now in 1990, people can't remember who he is. Frank Mills, of course, was the guard at the Watergate who did his job in a way that resulted in the arrest of the burglars of the Watergate and revealed to America the faces of some of the most powerful CIA agents in the United States, E. Howard Hunt, Frank Sturgis, Bernard Barker, and their friends. Yet today, Frank Mills is forgotten in the pages of our history. And in order to remind people of this, I wanted to recount some of what happened after Frank Mills arrested E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis. Well, the result was that people were able to tie together the very strange events at the Watergate, which at first the White House was saying, oh, it's just a handy-anny political burglary. It doesn't mean anything. It involves people that have no direct connections with anything important. They're just secondary functionaries in the background somewhere. Well, turns out that we now know that the people arrested at the Watergate were the top officials of the Central Intelligence Agency engaged in a heavy-duty black bag operation against the Democratic Party. And then when Woodward and Bernstein started tracing them back, they were able to connect them to all kinds of other dirty tricks that have been going on over the years. And historians have traced them back all the way to Operation 40 and the invasion of Cuba. And in fact, when Richard Nixon was being impeached, threatened with impeachment, the famous 18-minute gap on the tape involved this discussion. Now, just imagine this. Here's Nixon facing impeachment, the greatest crisis in his life, and he's tape recording the discussions he's having with Halderman about what to do when the FBI starts asking questions. And what's he talking about? Just before the gap on the tape that they had to erase, that they thought was so sensitive that Rosemary Woods had to erase off the tapes before they were released, they're talking about E. Howard Hunt, and they're saying things like, you suppose if we gave Hunt $1 million that he could keep quiet about his involvement in the Bay of Pigs operation, we'll call it. Do you think if the FBI starts questioning E. Howard Hunt, that we give him $1 million, he'll shut up about that stuff? Because if he starts talking about the Bay of Pigs operation, it could be very embarrassing, and it could lead to a lot of people getting in trouble. Now, does that make sense? Here, Nixon is facing impeachment, and he's talking about the 1961 invasion of Cuba? Really? Doesn't make very good sense. But what he was really talking about, the code words he was using just before the 18-minute gap on the tape, was he uses the words Bay of Pigs operation as a code word to mean the assassination of John Kennedy. Because it turns out E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis were arrested in Dallas, Texas for the assassination of John Kennedy. All this stuff developed out of the work of one important American, Frank Mills. If Frank Mills had been an ordinary security guard, he would not have been alert and aware enough to have noticed the tape on the doors and to then have taken the tape off and then logged it in his logbook. And then he goes back an hour later and he finds the same door has tape on it so that it can't be locked. And he realizes there's somebody in the building. And so he then starts searching for them and he alerts the police and the police close in and they arrest E. Howard Hunt, Frank Sturgis, Bernard Barker, all these other friends of Nixon's, and resulting in the great Watergate scandal, which resulted in the near impeachment of Nixon. That's what Frank Mills is important for in American history. He was just an ordinary Joe, just like you and I, but he did his job carefully, and he did his job very alert to what he was doing, and an ordinary person might not have noticed the door was taped open, but he did. And an ordinary person might not have gone back and checked a second time, but he did. And as a result, he now has a place in American history that is significant. Okay, that's what Frank did. Frank Mills arranged for the caused the arrest of E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis in the Watergate. And they were prosecuted. They actually did time in jail. And as a result of that, their photos became published all over the country. And the their pictures were compared to the pictures of the men arrested in Dallas, Texas for the assassination of John Kennedy. And lo and behold, it turns out to be exactly the same two men, E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis. Now, what would have happened if in Dallas, Texas, when they were arrested, they had not been let go? When they were arrested in Dallas, Texas, they were taken to the police station, and the FBI and the CIA immediately showed up at the police department. The local police didn't know that they were CIA agents, and the FBI and the CIA forced the release of E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis. And when the FBI took Sturgis and Hunt with them to whisk them out of the public view, they also took the fingerprints and the mugshots taken of Hunt and Sturgis by the Dallas police. And so they totally disappeared, all the evidence about Hunt and Sturgis. But later on in 74, they surface at the Watergate, and then their pictures are published all over the country. And most recently, in November of 1988, Jack Anderson even got into the act. He did a special program on the assassination of John Kennedy, and he interviewed E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis and asked them point blank, "Are you the man who shot John Kennedy? Are you the man pictured in this picture from Dallas, Texas, arrested behind the grassy knoll for the assassination of John Kennedy?" And while E. Howard Hunt said, "Oh, gee, that may look like me, but that's not really me. I have three CIA agent friends who could tell you that would lie for me that say I was in Washington, D.C. at the time." But he was smiling when he gave the answer. I have a videotape of this if you would be interested. You can contact me by sending me a self-addressed stamped envelope to Paul Kangas at P.O. Box 42644, San Francisco. And I will send you information on how you can look at the videotape. It shows this. And all of this came together because one person, Frank Mills, from my point of view, one person, Frank Mills, had the consistency of character to not only do his job well, but go back and do it again, and then uncover Hunt and Sturgis hiding in the Watergate. Now, think of this. What would have happened if the Democratic Party had prosecuted Hunt and Sturgis in Dallas for the assassination of John Kennedy the way they prosecuted Hunt and Sturgis at the Watergate? See, when they got arrested in the Watergate, that was political. That was partisan politics. So the Democratic Party jumped all over Hunt and Sturgis and kept the pressure on them until they ended up in jail. They both did time for burglarizing the Watergate. Now, the Democratic Party had prosecuted Hunt and Sturgis way back in 1963 instead of letting them go when they assassinated John Kennedy. The United States might not have invaded Vietnam, because if you look at the historical record, what you see about Vietnam is that Kennedy was being pressured by the oil companies to get into Vietnam because vast oil fields had been discovered off the southern coast of Vietnam. But Kennedy was saying no, that he would send some advisors, he'd send some Peace Corps people, but he's not going to invade Vietnam just to make the oil companies rich. And so the oil companies decided, hey, this Kennedy guy has got to go. I mean, look what he did in Cuba. There was an invasion of Cuba. I, Paul Kangas, was personally involved in the invasion of Cuba. Not voluntarily, I was in the military. And I was, you know, I was being conscripted and forced into the invasion. I didn't plan on being there. Didn't really know exactly how I got in that situation, but I was unfortunately involved in that. So I have some personal knowledge of some of this stuff. And I was at one time a honor guard for John Kennedy. So I have some personal connection with this period in history. And if the Democratic Party had prosecuted Hunt and Sturgis, had not let them get away, it might have prevented the invasion of Vietnam and saved the lives of millions of Vietnamese and thousands of Americans, because it was Lyndon Johnson, the lapdog of the oil companies, who 2 days after Kennedy's assassinated, the headlines are starting to say things like, Johnson's calling for an invasion, a mass invasion of Vietnam, and they did it on the pretext that they claim somebody fired on an American boat, which turned out to be later a total lie. And so then we have the Vietnam War started. Now, if Kennedy had lived, the Vietnam War would not have grew the way it grew. It might have never happened, because basically what was going on is the Kennedy family said, hey, they've discovered oil fields off the southern coast of Vietnam. I'm president of the United States. That means the Kennedy family can now become a big oil family. We'll get our friends in there to drill the oil. We'll be friends with the South Vietnamese. We'll trade with the Vietnamese. We'll negotiate with them. But the oil companies didn't want to do that. They wanted the oil for the Rockefellers and the DuPonts and the Morgans. And the Morgans and the DuPonts didn't want to share with the Kennedys. The Kennedys made their money on bootleg whiskey. And now the Kennedys had a chance to become a major oil conglomerate in the world. And the Rockefellers and Standard Oil didn't want that. So they fired John Kennedy the same way the mafia fires somebody if you cross their line. They had him shot down like a wild animal in the streets of Dallas, Texas, by E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis. And a lot of this history is hidden. And we may never know the true facts, because Johnson ordered all records concerning the assassination of John Kennedy sealed for 75 years until the CIA agents involved, like E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis and Richard Nixon, are dead. And then at that point, only the historians will be able to look. But people like Hunt and Sturgis and Nixon should be in jail for the assassination of John Kennedy. He was directly involved. And he should be prosecuted for it. There should be a jury trial on the question, because I have articles showing Nixon in Dallas the day of the assassination. Yet when the FBI asked Richard Nixon, where were you the day of the assassination of John Kennedy, he said, gee, guys, you know, I can't remember where I was. Well, there's nobody alive on the face of the earth that was an adult that can't remember where they were the day Kennedy was killed. It's that kind of world phenomenon. And it's important to reconstruct our history so that our history is not a mystery. Because if somebody like, say, Jesse Jackson is elected president in 1996, we want to be alert and aware enough that we are not going to let the same CIA, George Bush, who was a member of the CIA back when John Kennedy was assassinated. In fact, George Bush was working in Miami and was in charge of the Cubans that were part of the invasion of Cuba. George Bush, former head of the CIA, is now president, and the CIA basically controls the country in a lot of ways. And that's why when some important, valuable journalist like Jack Anderson steps out of line and says, hey, it was E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis who killed John Kennedy, and actually shows documentation. Like I said earlier, if you would like to look at this video that I have of the Jack Anderson interview with E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis, send me a self-addressed stamped envelope. My address again is P.O. Box 42644, San Francisco. I'm in the phone book, by the way, with that address. My zip code is 94142. Just, you can't call me. I won't answer telephone calls on the question. You can only write to me. Send me a self-addressed, stamped, please, envelope so that I can send you information on the videotape. But if Hunt and Sturgis had been prosecuted way back in 63 for the assassination of John Kennedy, millions of lives would have been saved. Now we have to look at the future and try and save the lives of future politicians. I mean, Kennedy was hated by some folks because he was Catholic. We can't allow the secret government to kill people just because they're Catholic. And what are they going to do if Jesse Jackson's elected president, or a woman is elected president, or a Jewish person, or a Chinese person is elected president of the United States? They go ape, and we don't want them doing that. We want to control our own country. In order to do that, people have to become more aware of what's really going on in this country and to understand our own history. It shouldn't be a mystery. There should not be a question in people's minds as to who killed John Kennedy. But because the media keeps lying to us about who killed John Kennedy, and when people like Jack Anderson put out a videotape on it, nobody pays attention to it because they're consciously, purposely trying to ignore facts. So we have a duty to our own selves to learn the facts, and then what's going on in Eastern Europe can happen here. I mean, there's a rebirth of democracy in Eastern Europe and in Soviet Union, and we need a little more democracy here. If we elect a president, we should be able to see that president live out their life rather than being shot by the CIA. I won't even go into the assassination of Robert Kennedy because it's even more obvious that the CIA was behind that one. But the focus now I'm trying to focus on is this one person, Frank Mills, one person just like you. You listening to my voice are one person, and you can make a difference. You can affect history. You can make history. Maybe not the same way Frank Mills did, but you can make history by being aware and alert to what's going on, and then demanding answers from your from the Fourth Estate, I should say. I was going to say elected politicians, but you really can't get much from elected politicians. They're kind of elected, and they're just there. They're just like the pavement. They're there. But the Fourth Estate, I think, is the key to democracy in America, that you approach your newspapers, your TV stations, your radio stations with the information, and you volunteer to talk to them or arrange for other people to speak to them. But if all this November 1990, if all the newspapers and televisions and radio stations would carry articles on reminding people that of the Tramp photos, carry articles about the Tramp photos and Hunt and Sturgis arrested in Dallas, then maybe someday John Kennedy's birthday will be a national holiday, like Martin Luther King's birthday is a national holiday. Think about that. You know, the black community in the United States is very politically conscious, and they struggled for years to make Martin Luther King's birthday a national holiday, to commemorate him, to honor him for the work he did. Yet if you ask the average American when John Kennedy was born, they can't tell you, because the CIA and the media attempt to rub John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy and even Ted Kennedy out of history. And they're still attempting to. But in the case of Martin Luther King, the progressive community and the black community fought back, and they demanded a holiday to commemorate him. Why did Martin Luther King die? He died fighting to stop the Vietnam War. He was speaking out against the Vietnam War. It's hard to remember how hot things were back in 1967, 68, 69. I mean, this country was at war internally over the question of whether or not to continue the war in Vietnam. And Martin Luther King was speaking out against the war in Vietnam because it was murdering Vietnamese, because it was murdering Americans, and because it was murdering our educational system. Money that should have been spent here was being used to destroy Vietnam. And so the government tried to stop the anti-war movement by cutting off the head of the anti-war movement. And one of the heads of the anti-war movement was Martin Luther King. And they thought by killing King, Robert Kennedy was shut up about the Vietnam War issue. But Robert Kennedy, to his credit, kept on speaking against the Vietnam War. Against the Vietnam War that his brother would never have allowed to happen if his brother had been allowed to live. Robert Kennedy was shot to death 2 months after Martin Luther King was shot to death. And I think it's important to link the three deaths of John Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and Robert Kennedy together, because they all died fighting to stop the war in Vietnam. And not only did they die, but in Dallas, Texas, 16 eyewitnesses who saw John Kennedy shot, who then testified before the Warren Commission, were shot to death, were run over by cars, died of karate chops, were thrown out of buildings. 16 material eyewitnesses who testified before the Warren Commission. After they testified, they were murdered by the CIA for their testimony, for their efforts. Their efforts to uncover who killed John Kennedy. Their efforts, indirectly, they may not have understood it, but their efforts to stop the war in Vietnam. And American history is like a wagon train traveling west. You know, if you want to study the history of a wagon train traveling west, all you have to do is look at the graves that wagon train left behind to see what kind of problems that wagon train had. But if you look at American history that way, and you say, look at the graves we have left behind, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, John Kennedy, all the eyewitnesses to the assassination of John Kennedy were murdered, and they're in basically unmarked graves. We need a wall commemorating not only the American soldiers who died in Vietnam, but all the American civilians who were murdered by the CIA in this country attempting to stop the war in Vietnam. And on that wall should be not only the American soldiers, but the American civilians who died trying to stop that war. And that should include Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, and John Kennedy. And what I'm speaking about now is the history I have lived through, the period I have lived through. But a lot of my consciousness of understanding this would not have been possible if it wasn't for one person, Frank Mills. If Frank Mills hadn't done what he did to arrest Hunt and Sturgis, the actual assassins of John Kennedy would never have been discovered, may have never been discovered, because we knew nothing about the spooks in the CIA like Hunt and Sturgis until Frank Mills had them arrested. And in the process, people like Woodward and Bernstein became household words in America. Frank Mills made Woodward and Bernstein famous. Frank Mills was an important American who deserves more credit for what he did. He, like, lifted the corner of a rug, and under the rug, he found a whole pile of American dirt and history, and he lifted that rug and revealed a whole bunch of cockroaches under that rug. Cockroaches named E. Howard Hunt, cockroaches named Richard Nixon, cockroaches named Frank Sturgis, and he sent them scurrying all the way to jail. And it's important for us to understand that history so that we don't make that mistake again of allowing the CIA to control the media, basically, and control our minds and prevent us from understanding the history. If you want to go deeper into it, I have more material on it. And you can write to me at P.O. Box 42644, San Francisco 94142. Send me a self-addressed stamped envelope. But it's important to think about this period, even though it's 1990. People say, hey, what are you worried about 1963 for? Hey, what are you worried about 1974? Do we really need to worry about who killed John Kennedy? Well, let me give you an example. Two examples. In the Philippines, when Aquino was assassinated by the Filipino CIA, the Filipino people didn't just sit down and say, gee, that's too bad. The newspapers are saying it was a lone assassin and he was killed, just like Oswald was killed. And so the case closed. Well, the Filipino people didn't just say, case closed. They said, hey, the media is lying to us. The newspapers and the television is lying to us. We will set up our own People's Commission. We will investigate this ourselves. Their investigation created a mass movement that demanded democracy in the Philippines. Their investigation resulted in Marcos being kicked, basically peacefully, out of power. Just like what's going on in Europe, Stalinism is being kicked out of power in Eastern Europe and in the Soviet Union, and that's good. Now we need some democracy. We need that kind of democracy and mass active movement in the United States to look at the CIA and say, hey, this guy George Bush, his involvement in running guns to the Contra and smuggling drugs back into the United States to pay for an illegal war, marks George Bush as a major American criminal, and he should be in jail, not in the White House. And you're allowed to say that, because facts show that not only was Ronald Reagan involved, but George Bush was involved in smuggling illegally guns and drugs to the Contras and arranging for an illegal war and financing an illegal war. How did they finance it? By getting many people in America addicted to cocaine and forcing squeezing tons of money out of the United States through illegal drug addictions and sales, and use the money to fund illegal wars. Now, that's the kind of facts that have to be talked about constantly here in 1990 in order to create a situation in America where we can create a more active movement like they have in the Philippines. Now, of course, the Philippines is not paradise, but it's an active democracy, and we need that here. And you can look back through history, like in France, in the 1880s, there was a guy named General Dreyfus, a Jewish general who was illegally framed for supposedly giving state secrets to the Germans, which he didn't do. And for 15 years, students in college argued this question, while the newspapers remained silent and the politicians remained silent. And this guy sat in jail for 15 years for something he didn't do. And then finally, there were enough students saying, hey, Dreyfus didn't do it, it's a lie, and writing alternative newspaper articles about Dreyfus didn't do it, it's a lie. He was framed by the government because he was Jewish. It's just French anti-Semitism is what keeps Dreyfus in jail. And it wasn't until Emile Zola, the famous, powerful French writer, read some of these small articles, these alternative articles, and said, you know, these people are right. The government is lying. It's a frame. It's a setup. And it's anti-Semitism that's jailed Dreyfus, not the facts. It was a lie that was jailing Dreyfus. So Emile Zola wrote an article. Remember the article he wrote? I Accuse. And the article had such a moving, powerful effect on France that Emile Zola was fired from his job teaching at a university. Emile Zola's books were banned. Emile Zola's passport was taken away. They attempted to deport Zola. They jailed Zola. They put him on trial. And then after he got through all those troubles, while he was sleeping in the middle of the night, somebody climbed up on his roof where he was sleeping in this little one-room apartment and stuffed a rag down the chimney of his stove in the dead of winter. And so Emile Zola suffocated from the smoke. He was basically assassinated for his efforts to free Dreyfus. And when Dreyfus was freed, Zola was not invited to the commemorations because he was considered a non-person by then. But Jack Anderson, in some ways, is now standing up here in America, like an Emile Zola, saying, wow, it was Hunt and Sturgis who killed John Kennedy, and people should become aware of that. Now, if Jack Anderson can say it, why can't the Chronicle say it? Why can't the Examiner say it? Why can't the KGO say it? Well, actually, sometimes KGO does say things like that, but it needs to be in the print media. The print media, for some reason, is more powerful than the spoken word or even television, I guess. It's my impression. And I'm raising the issue now in 1990 to try and write American history as it should be written, rather than just accepting the lies that are in the history books. The history books, half of the stuff, you read it, you say, wow, this is not true, you know, especially when they write about the 60s. You go back and read the history books now that they write about the 60s, and you say, wow, that's not true, wow, that's not true. Page after page of lies are being written in our history books because we don't challenge the lies. And so I'm doing this program on Frank Mills to remind people of the truth of that period and the truth of our history, and hopefully will penetrate some young history writer who listens to this and who has an option, who has a chance, has a job writing the pages of history. He can go to she or he can go to their editor and say, hey, you know, we should include Frank Mills in the history, and we should publish the tramp photos, because they're the best evidence we have as to who killed John Kennedy. So instead of suppressing it, we'll free the truth. I don't want to lose anybody out there listening to this, so I'm going to close. And here's how I'm going to close. I'm going to remind you of another piece of American history that's kind of forgotten, and it's also black history. 1 year after the assassination of Martin Luther King, Martin Luther King's brother, A.D. King, a very famous civil rights leader in his own right, was brutally beaten to death and thrown into his own swimming pool. And to this day, people forget who he is because he kind of stood in the shadow of Martin Luther King. But when King was assassinated, A.D. King took up the leadership of the civil rights movement and would have gone further, but he was assassinated. And so was Martin Luther King's mother assassinated in broad daylight, in church, by a so-called lone assassin, gunman, who was captured, Chenault. Why did all these assassinations happen to the King and Kennedy family? I'll cover more of that in the future. But right now, this is Paul Kangas closing. And if you want to write to me, please send me a self-addressed stamped envelope to P.O. Box 42644, San Francisco 94142. Thank you.